am honored to be here at my Starbucks studio for Timbuktu with John Voles, who is owner, physical therapist of The Answer at Fitness Lifestyles. John, welcome so much. And thanks for being here and chatting for a little bit.
Thanks very much, Tim. Thanks for having me sitting here in your Starbucks. What studios again? What
was just that my name? Starbucks studios.
Starbucks studios?
We haven't put any other ad in. No one sponsored us yet. But maybe you'll do that with all of the financial gain that you have.
Ah, okay.
So basically, John, it's getting very cold outside. And
well, before we start, Tim, I remember I told you a while back that I was going to turn this interview back on you again and make this more about you than about me.
Sure.
That doesn't come as a surprise to you, does it?
No, not at all.
No. Well, I have several stories to draw from, but I want to go back to 1985, 86. See, Tim Connors and I have known each other for a very long time, dating back to the mid-80s when he was one of the rising stars in the Royal Scots over at Highland Community College. And I was a hack trumpet player in the jazz band at Highland Community College. Tim is always one of the cool kids. And I really wasn't. I was kind of in the shadows and behind the scenes. But there was one performance that we had, and we always played our shows together, the jazz band with the Scots. And I barely knew Tim, but I saw him while I was behind stage. Saw him walk out on stage, very well dressed, this young, good looking kid. He opens up his arms to the audience, to his adoring audience, and he looks out and he says, "You look marvelous. Absolutely marvelous." And I stood back and I thought, and I watched and I listened. And I stood back a little bit further and I thought, this guy's going somewhere. This Tim Connors guy, he is going somewhere. Then I faded back into the shadows. And here I am again today. So that's the story that I wanted to tell about Tim from a very long time ago. Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
That's fine. Anybody else want to chat about me for this podcast? I would love to happen.
I can go on.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that.
That's all going to be edited right out, isn't it?
Probably. I don't know. I might keep a little bit. We'll see. But so, John, you... as an individual that has done a lot of physical therapy with a lot of people and who trust you and respect you and whatever, a lot of questions are asked of you. And the one thing that I've always wanted to know is when it really gets cold outside, especially for individuals that, you know, really can't just get outside in the weather and walk and run and whatever. What are some things that people can do to stay healthy and to keep in good shape over these months that are so cold?
Sure. And we may be talking about older people, middle-aged people, younger people. Number one, Tim, is ice. I don't go outside when it's icy. I'm in pretty decent condition, I suppose, and I'm not as worried about injuries. But mainly what we're concerned about in physical therapy, if we're working especially with the older population, is safety, number one. Walking on ice is just a bad idea no matter how you're trying to cut it. Unless you absolutely have to go out on an icy day, it's better to stay inside. Staying active indoors, it can be kind of tricky. If you have a house that's, you know, laid out well enough that you can get some activity. What I recommend to people often is if they're able to, if they're watching TV, to get up and walk during each commercial. If they can use other parts of their house, such as stairs, if they feel safe doing stairs, that's a great tool. Just simply going up and down stairs again, as long as you feel safe doing it. So several things that you can do at home, different pieces of exercise equipment. If you like exercising at home, that's fine. Otherwise, going to a facility, once again, as long as you're safe getting out and around.
I know you see individuals that come off of surgery or are in pain or something like that. What do you suggest individuals if they do take a fall on the ice and maybe don't break something but are in pain? What do they need to check? What do they need to do in order to maintain their safety?
Number one is try not to move right away. If you happen to take a fall on the ice, you want to kind of assess your situation, find out if you are injured at all, and hopefully you're with somebody. You need to get some help getting back up off the ground. Otherwise, immediate care. I recommend that people go to an immediate care, possibly an emergency room if they suspect that something's injured, even a more of a serious bruise or a soft tissue injury. That needs to be assessed by a professional, such as the immediate care or the ER. And then after that, they probably refer you back to primary care or maybe even to physical therapy for a little further assessment.
So it starts to get nice outside And people are like, oh, I've been inside so long. Now it's time to start getting outside and doing some exercise and doing some gardening and all of this. Sometimes people overdo it too quickly. How do you, what do you suggest to people, or how can people kind of move into a more healthier lifestyle once it gets nice outside and not overdo it too soon?
Sure. The key is going slowly. Walking is always the common denominator in terms of regular activity. If you're able to walk safely and you have a safe environment, get out there and do some walking. Sidewalks are fine as long as they don't have too many cracks or uneven surfaces. Try to stay away from uneven surfaces like grass or uneven terrain like that. I recommend people often go to Crate Park. It's a nice area. There are some nice graded hills. You can choose the height of the hill that you want to try to traverse. But just getting out there and doing some slow walking in a safe environment is your best bet to start.
Now, John, you've been at the Answer in Freeport for a number of years, but you've been a physical therapist for a long period of time. What have you noticed as a physical therapist, individuals? What are the major injuries that you've had to deal with? And with those injuries, how can people kind of shy away from hurting themselves in certain ways or having those injuries so they don't have to make appointments to see you to get better?
Well, then we started getting into different age groups. Younger kids, I'm finding out, specifically high school athletes, lots of athletic injuries I've noticed in the last 6-7 years. And I haven't really put my finger on top of why that is. If they're playing too many sports back to back and not getting enough rest, that could be part of it. Maybe not training enough for the particular sport that they're playing. Not sure, but I'm seeing quite a few kids now coming out of knee surgery, shoulder surgeries, things like that. The middle age group, often what I run into are folks who are so busy at work that they might come in only on weekends. And when they come in on weekends, they're trying to make up for the few days that they've missed during the week. And then they overdo it, end up with an overuse injury, such as a knee strain, hip strain, shoulder strain, depending on whether or not they're playing a racket sport. That's pretty common. When we start getting into the older ages, we start finding people who have taken falls, you know, and then there are repercussions from the falls, such as a broken bone or a soft tissue injury, possibly a surgery. Lots of people with knee and hip replacements that have to come in for, you know, a month or two or maybe 3 months of therapy. But that's mostly what I run into in terms of different age groups.
So with these individuals that do have replacements, do you see people wanting to or thinking that they don't need as much therapy or they need as much help and try to get through it too quick? And if they do try and get through something too quick, is it a worse type of injury?
In terms of, let's say, for example, knee replacements, lots of people getting knee replacements, and they're recommended strongly by their orthopedic providers to not only do preparatory strengthening and activity before their surgery and before their therapy, but they're also strongly encouraged to make sure that they finish their therapy. What I find some people do is that they'll come through the surgery, hip replacement, knee replacement, what have you, and they'll think, well, I'm moving pretty well, I don't have to do the therapy. Then we find 5-6 months down the road, they're really having some trouble walking and getting around. So it's important to finish the course of therapy. It isn't fun, okay, but it's necessary to get back your mobility, your safety, your balance, and honestly, your independence, especially if you're an older person at home.
So I will tell you just a small story. John and I did go to Highland Community College together. And at the end of my high school career, I taught a senior seminar class where we would bring seniors in and give tours of certain areas. And maybe someone might be interested in going a certain job routine. There's a young man who just had no clue what he wanted to do. And we took a tour down with John, and he was just so wonderful, not only with these kids, that this young man said, you know what? I've always wanted to be a physical therapist. And John, I just watching that kid's mind open up and listening to what John had to say was just so wonderful. When you have those conversations, not about becoming a physical therapist, but when you have those conversations with people, say a mutual friend of ours who you work with because of a certain injury, what do you want to accomplish when you are trying to heal these people? it's not just physical, is it? I mean, mentally, you need to help them also, don't you?
The mental's probably 50% of what I do. I'm not someone who's trained in the psychological aspect of it, but along with the physical, you have to help people regain their confidence. And I'll go back again to high school athletes, high school or college athletes. They might come through the surgery and the injury and the rehabilitation pretty well, but to get them back on the field or back on the court and play at the level that they were playing before, even beyond the physical injury and the rehab, that's a bigger part of it. I have to slowly try to get them back into an activity at a really graduated pace, sometimes within the course of their therapy, ease them back into it, pull them back out, make sure they get stronger, more stable, more agile, and then try a few more skills related activities. Again, we can even talk about people who are older. You know, there are folks who are older who are getting around at home, but they're extremely cautious, which is good. It's always good to be cautious if you're an older person. But to get their physical capabilities back again and then have them start doing the things that they used to do that they didn't realize that they could get back. And that's the mental component of it, is making sure that they have the confidence in a safe way to get back to doing the things that they enjoy doing both at home and in the community.
Speaking of confidence, my wife, Becky, and I picked up pickleball for a while. And there are a number of individuals who said, ooh, watch yourself for playing pickleball. Have you had to deal with a lot of pickleball injuries?
Yeah, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the country. And if people don't know what pickleball is, it's kind of a cross between tennis, racquetball, and ping pong, where you're on a court and playing with paddles rather than rackets and a plastic ball with a lower net. So it's almost like being miniaturized and put on a ping pong table and hitting a ball back and forth. It's a lot of fun. People who used to play a lot of tennis and a lot of racquetball who find they can't do that anymore, they resort to pickleball. But once again, they might go into it 0 to 60 and think that they can just play as hard and as fast as they used to. And then they find that they can't do it. So we end up with an occasional sprained ankle, a knee injury, some overuse injuries involving the shoulder or the elbow. We try to catch it quickly. Now, over Fitness Lifestyles, we do have pickleball courts, and people are pretty good about coming in and saying, hey, I think I irritated this area or my knee hurts a little bit. And then we make some adjustments to what they're doing and maybe start them in PT and maybe not, but more often than not, just give them some recommendations to back off, try a few stretches, and maybe come back at it a little bit less aggressive than they were before.
So, John, thank you so much for being here. I was trying to give one last question just to tie everything up from my guest, and it's John Voles of The Answer at Fitness Lifestyles. As people are listening to this, what in your opinion, over the years, when have you looked at what you're doing as a physical therapist and said, you know what, I'm really glad I did this. I'm really glad I did this. Is there a certain event, a certain story, or has there been something that's taken place that you're like, yeah, I am helping people.
Two examples. We can go back to the kids and the older population. When I see a kid get back on the basketball court, volleyball court, football field, and they're out there running around and doing what they did before the injury, and they're happy and their parents are happy, that lights me up. Almost more than that, though, honestly, and it almost makes me tear up a little sometimes because I have a soft spot for the older folks. When they find that they can walk upstairs or get out of a chair or play with their grandkids, and they were completely convinced they couldn't do that before, but now they can do it, that makes my entire day, week, year. That's probably the most satisfying part of my job.
Well, I'll tell you, if you don't know who John Voles is, you need to stop by The Answer and see this guy, because not only is he a fabulous physical therapist, he's also a top-notch human being that is kind and has cared for a lot of friends of mine. And I don't care what anybody says about him. He's a really, really, he's a really, really good guy. Seriously, John and I have known each other for a long time, and I really wanted people to get to know him, not only as a human being, but also as a great physical therapist as he is. Thank you, John.
Thanks much, Jim.